Sounds good. Well, good day. Here we are on another lovely Friday.
Here we are. Another lovely Friday. I have
Friday here, but
yes. And I have another new hat from the Legacy Hat Collection. This says CBP, Canada's Border Patrol, or Collective Brains Patrol, or it could just be what it was originally, which is Customs Border Protection Field Cap.
well,
US.
are so many of these things that have changed, and you can keep it's like the sports teams now. You have to have, you buy what you think is the official jersey, and next week they come out with another one. So when you have a change in government, you get a change in acronyms, and you got a whole bunch of caps to resell.
Here's the good news. I've got about 40 or 45 of these. So this is, we got a lot of episodes with different hats. And so you'll be saying things like, you're wearing a different hat today.
Well, maybe we should leave that for the readers and the listeners too.
Well, you got, of course, the listeners who get this won't see it, obviously. But for those who are on Rumble or YouTube, this is the genuine article from one of my many soirees around the world. Back in olden days.
Yes. I mentioned that to the youngest grandson the other day. How old are you, Papa? I said, well, I think the last dinosaur just died off the day before. So we're talking like that with work career too.
Indeed, we are. Well, it's an interesting day today. This is a special edition of a Canada-US border edition because apparently today Mr. Biden and Mr. Trudeau have decided that Roxton Road, famous Roxton Road, and the Safe Third Country Agreement is going to be changed.
Yes, and I don't know all the details. I don't know if I'll know the full details just yet, but I can't understand why you're putting a time limit on these things. Like, what happens? It said something I read that they've got 14 days to make a claim when they sneak in, and they can be removed back within that 14 days. So if they wait to the 15th day to make their claim, does that mean that they're not covered by this agreement? Yeah, like you're just creating another loophole after trying to plug the loophole. Kind of reminds me of the little boy trying to put his finger in all the holes in the dike to stop it from breaching, like.
Well, it's interesting what the position is on all this between the various sites that we visit, as you know, to get our information. And these are all open source sites. But according to Todd Bentsman from the Center of Immigration Studies out of Washington, the Canadian policy between the surge behind the surge of illegals and Mexican cartel operatives at the northern border. Canadian policy is behind the surge of illegals and Mexican cartel operatives at the northern border. The headline further goes on to say that there's no evidence that the Biden administration has ever demanded change at multiple U.S. Canada immigration meetings. Now, what do you think of that?
I guess it goes back to the like a lot of things. They're directing us in one way, much like a magician does, with a sleight of hand, and you got to wonder what's really going on here. Does the U.S. not care about the northern border? Do they think that everything's fine? Do they? I don't know.
Well, the crux of the Center for Immigration Studies article says that the catalyst to all of this jazz at the Roxham Road was a result of Trudeau's implementation on December 1st, 2016, when he rescinded the requirement that Mexicans going to Canada get visas. The Prime Minister replaced the visa requirement with a pro forma electronic travel authorization. Here we go again. We got an app for that. On a $7 online affair that allows Mexicans to fly in at will, like most American citizens. Now Mexican nationals using Trudeau's visa-free visitors pass, escalating numbers to fly in and then cross into America. They are doing so because at the southern border, Border Patrol is applying last month's Title 42 rapid expulsions against Mexicans while admitting many of the other nationalities on a humanitarian parole. Trudeau's fast pass visa-free loophole for Mexicans to fly into Canada may seem inexplicable unless seen through the prism of Canadian politics. Trudeau's policy was a conspicuous reaction to Donald Trump's election weeks before. Here we go. The Trump effect. The visa requirement for Mexicans was there for a good reason, but Trudeau's predecessors put it in place in 2009 because prior to that, Mexicans were abusing the visa waiver to stake bogus asylum claims on a mass scale. Now, if you're to believe that, then why would the same Justin Trudeau open a door in upstate New York into Quebec that anybody and his mother could wander through? That's an illogical rationale, because most of the people we're talking about aren't even Mexicans that are coming into Canada through Roxton Road.
Yeah. And I don't know, we've kind of hinted at and touched at it before, but I don't understand the process of asylum claiming, refugee claiming in Canada. If you've already come from a country that has signed one of the agreements, and you haven't availed yourself of that country's protection, why are you coming to another country to seek that protection? To me, that does not indicate that you're a refugee. It indicates to me that you're a country shopper and you're looking for the best deal, which, given the past history of the Canadian government in its policies, where you have people who are under orders of deportation for 15 or 16 years and have three or four children while they're awaiting the process to finally work its way through the courts, it's no wonder that these people don't want to claim someplace like Mexico, the United States, Britain, Germany, or France, because they deal with the claims a lot quicker. So you're right, it doesn't mean that because they took off the visa requirement for Mexico, that it's opened up a door. It's the fact that our legal system is so generous that by the time you actually do get around, and even if you do actually have to get on an airplane, your last step of resort is to go to the press and complain that you've been here for 15 years and have three or four Canadian kids. How can you be deported? And then the court of public opinion takes over, maybe for another 15 years. Who knows? I don't know.
Well, you know, if you look at the sudden fear of the northern border, you look at the deal that they made here, that the U.S. Will return illegal immigrants to Canada within 14 days of crossing. This is according to the Los Angeles Times. The plan is to take effect soon. What does that mean? I don't know. To reduce incentives for migrants to come into the U.S. illegally. Now, what's interesting here is that the report, which I'm now getting here from the Los Angeles Times, is that the U.S. Customs Border Protection Agency encountered more than 68,000 migrants across the northern border into the U.S. between October 22 and February 23. And roughly 109,000 in fiscal year 2022. In the Swanton sector, which covers part of New York, Vermont, New Hampshire, the Border Patrol recently reported an 846% increase in illegal migrant apprehensions. Comparatively, roughly 40,000 migrants crossed illegally into Canada via Champlain, New York's Roxham Road, a residential street that leads to a Canadian police post. I love how this is described, a Canadian police post. In 2022, making a new increase for Canadian authorities, according to the CBC. Now, the two countries had previously had a safe third country agreement since 2004. We all know how that worked. And now, in order to allegedly fix this, Canada will take 15,000 new slots for migrants from the Western Hemisphere to apply for legal entry. This is according to the LA Times. And I suspect most of them are going to be Haitians, because where are you going to come from? That's because now that's going to be the big talking point between
Well,
these
I
two.
think one of the other things was and I can't remember whether it was on Border Hawk or Border News, that there's a massive influx of Chinese migrants into South America so that they can work their way up from Peru and Ecuador and places like that to get into the United States and I'm assuming also Canada. So I'm not sure how this is going to be fixed. One of them is that there's just so much turmoil going on around the world that people are seeking a place where they can live and hopefully where we can all just get along and live happily ever after, which in itself is never going to happen, I don't think either. But I just see that poor little Dutch boy at the bottom of the dike trying to save the countryside, and it's not going to bode well.
Well, I didn't know that President Biden was in charge of Canadian immigration policy, because that's rather new to me, because that's what it looks like, you know?
Well, we've had lots of that in the past anyway, where I know when I worked on the border, we used to have the infamous B list of countries that we wouldn't remove to, and it was not unusual that sometime during the course of a shift that the U.S. authorities would bring somebody up that they had found and, well, we're going to deport him because he's from Timbuktu. And we know that if he's from Timbuktu, that he's on your B list. So, you might want to take him because we're going to deport him. And yeah, okay. You might deport him. You might not. I don't see how the fact that you don't want him in your country becomes my problem.
Yeah, I think all this is just smoke and mirrors, because in fact, if they were, if the agreement of the safe third country now will extend across the border, in other words, the whole 4,000 mile land border between Canada and the U.S., or 6,400 kilometers, if that means that there is no such thing as going around the port of entry. I guess migrant, illegal, irregular, whatever euphemism we use now for crossing at Roxham Road, may decrease in the short term. But what, they just take some other route. I mean, what's to stop them from going across Zero Boundary in your neck of the woods, or Pembina, in like they did in Manitoba, or just some wheat field through North Dakota into Canada, or vice versa? If you're not going to deal with people in a equitable, fair, and in timely fashion, this is all nonsense.
Well, I guess for us in Canada, that's the key. It's got to be timely. I mean, the last guy that we had out here that was on the news was literally in Canada for 15 years and had three Canadian kids. I don't find that timely. I don't find that equitable. I don't know what it is. But it's certainly ridiculous, to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me that there's first of all, the immigration policy of the United States on their southern border. I mean, I find it a little rich to get all excited about 68,000 coming into coming out of Canada supposedly, and 40,000 going the other way. So basically, there's a net difference of about 20,000. But that, putting it aside, Canada's already allowed entry to over 1 million people in the last year. That's a significant, that's more than the entire population of Nova Scotia. Okay. Then the next thing you worry about, the 5 million that have wandered into the US over the past year. So, I'm not sure if it's as much lecturing that can be done by either party about border management and the security of borders, because in both cases, they're guilty of saying one thing and doing something else at the base level. and at the in the weeds, they've made the whole issue of immigration and asylum protection and so on so complicated that the only people who are really loving all this are lawyers and consultants. And of course, traffickers and smugglers, because it's you've got a sieve here. And so I'm sorry, but this is an issue where they neither party has a very, let's tell me when I'm looking for the word here.
You know, you can. You're right. This is, to me, it's a case of political posturing. And you know, aren't we doing something here? Look at this wonderful thing, and you asked us to do something, and we're addressing it. Well, you're right. In the short term, maybe it's going to stop things. But the reality is until you start addressing the root cause of these things, it's not going to fix anything. I see.
Well, yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
I said, I think it was on Border News. Can we call it an invasion now? And you know, really, if you want to get down to the nitty-gritty, this is nothing more than an invasion. We are not stopping people. We don't want we don't know who they are. We don't know what their backgrounds are. We don't know very much about them at all.
No, and the sad part of this, the unintended consequence of this, is that a whole lot of folks who just happen to be migrants from another country who are probably law-abiding and whatever, get tossed into the hopper of being by a large percentage of the population so fed up with the mismanagement of this, they think that those folks are involved in criminal activities. And let's face it, the major urban centers across North America are really having serious crime problems. And part of it is displacement of the underclass that it's already there by millions of migrants who probably are working. I don't see a lot of migrants in the homeless group. These people that are camping out in the cores of cities like Chicago and Toronto and New York and Vancouver and whatever, these are not migrants. Sorry. These are people who have been born and raised right here in the US or Canada and have just either fallen on hard times or just part of the people that have been forgotten by mainstream politicians, and they're just dumping it down onto municipalities. This is a very complex issue, but to suggest that a lot of this crime is because of migration is a little rich. Obviously, there's cartels and the fentanyl and all that, but the vast majority of what I see are basically not those people. They're saying, hey, listen, I can go to North America. To South America or other places, and maybe earn a living. I see. I'm not going to fall into the trap that these nut jobs, say, oh, if you got to close all borders because they're all bad guys crossing. This is not true. But surely we're able to be more sophisticated than we are, because what we are now is terribly unsophisticated. In fact, there's no sophistication involved. It's kind of, let's see how it pans out. Well, the let's see how it pans out has been going on for a decade now, and it's not panning out very well.
Well, I guess for me the takeaway point on part is that the Safe Third Country Agreement is being looked at as it should have been looked at all along. It really doesn't matter whether you apply legally or you apply to come illegally. A safe third country is a safe third country. And
Look, it was very quite simple when they first dreamt this up, and that was if you were seeking asylum, the first place you went to seek safety. That's it. You didn't go shopping around. This is
no.
where the whole thing in terms of the, and we're not talking about the cartels and the Zetas and the fentanyl traffic. We're talking about who drove this bus of asylum seeking, shopping, tourism. And you really have to not hold back and say people with vested interests, and those are the ones who are making money on this. And that starts off with well-meaning but quite rich and greedy opportunists, from the legal profession to the consultants to, I mean, I'm politicians who play the fiddle to whatever group that they thought would be the virtue signaling. So, and I'm sorry, but they didn't give a rat's behind about the migrants. They just wanted to make sure that they could stay in the docket and make lots of money, a lot of which, by the way, is paid for by the same taxpayers getting screwed, because a lot of the representation is made made at the behest of various societies, legal societies, who get their money from the government to represent the very people you want to see.
Yeah, and that's true. I mean, if you sit back and you think, say, third country aside or not, between Canada and the United States, there are very, very few flights that arrive in Canada that have not stopped in a country where they're signatories to the UN definition. So if a person manages to escape war-torn, knee-jerk, whatever, into Germany, and then gets on a plane from Germany and comes to Canada to claim asylum, they're not migrants. They're not refugees. They're not asylum seekers. They're country shoppers.
This
And
is
so, as I
the
say,
elephant in the room we've
there's
known about for years, but no one seems to want to do what needs to be done. The parallels between the way the whole border security, migration management, asylum determination system has gotten totally screwed up is exactly the same as the tax systems in all these countries, where a simple thing like, okay, we have a tax code, you pay 3% or 8% or whatever of your gross, it goes in, and that's it. They complicated the devil out of this, okay? And who benefits? We've already crossed that bridge now. So the parallels are so self-evident,
Although I do understand that Canada is simplifying its tax returns now for next year.
They are.
Yeah,
How are we
that's going
gonna?
to be very simple. What did you make? How much have you sent us? Just send us the rest.
Yeah, right. Well, so the much ballyhooed Safe Third Country changes, apart from maybe Wroxham Road will close at some point when the Americans decide it's going to be in the Federal Register, then Wroxham Road will close. A bunch of Mounties will have to find new jobs, not being bellhops anymore at Wroxham Road. Maybe they'll go back and do real law enforcement.
I guess that's still it's not an official crossing. Well, if it wasn't an official crossing, why are there people there with tents? Why are there statistics? I mean, 39,000, is that something we just made up? Is that a number that was made up, or is it actually somebody there with a little clipboard doing a lumberman's tally of the people coming across? I mean, if by its very nature there are people there, these people aren't crossing illegally.
No. I guess there is some positive this coming out of this, and hope for the future for people in Niagara Falls, because they're not going to expand the 7,000 rooms the federal government is reserving for this movement. I'm sure that the city is breathing a somewhat of a sigh of relief that they'll have to deal with the 7,000 they already have, but not likely to increase by too much more going forward. Although I don't know where they're going to put the other 15,000 that they're apparently going to take.
Well, I guess maybe on the other side of that is that it might slow down the snakeheads and the like that are preying on the people to try and sneak them into various countries. It might slow that down a bit.
Yeah.
We keep our fingers crossed anyway on that.
Well, we're just talking about this as two guys in the living room about how this is triggered. We could go deep in the wood, in the weeds rather, and get all kinds of the legal beagle stuff and bore the pants off of our listeners and our viewers. But at the end of the day, the 15,000 deal is a drop in the bucket. We've already taken over a million in this country. I mean,
Well,
this is
and
what are we talking about here?
I guess to me that sounds like it's got the American spin on it because I don't think we have slots. We have guesstimates on how many people we want to take, right? We say we're going to open our doors to a quarter of a million people a year, and I don't think that quarter of a million is broken down into we have, what was it, 15,000 that we're going to take off that quarter of a million just for this particular thing.
Bob, they're keeping records. We've got 135,000 Ukrainians that weren't here a year ago. Okay, so we the numbers do add up to over a million because they've made people whose visas expire continue to go, and they're converting visitor visas to permanent resident visas willy-nilly, and I'm quite sure that the some of the people who are listening or watching say, well, not exactly, Tom. There's all kinds of hoops and loops people have to go through. And yeah, that's true, but the numbers don't lie. Okay. What they've been trying to do is obfuscate through Statistics Canada on who's a visitor and who's staying and who's a permanent resident and all that stuff. So we know that they've been manipulating the business. But long and the short of it is, this announcement today is of not of great consequence in my view.
No, it's not, of course, it'll be played up as being a magnificent deal and good cooperation between countries with the longest undefended border in the world and blah, 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 blah. But I still think it comes down to the fact that we have to take control of our borders. You've mentioned it before. If we don't, we don't take that little simple step, then why do we have borders at all?
Well, look, this government is led by a prime minister that believes in the post-nation state. A post-nation state, by its definition, is not a state, and therefore no longer has to worry about the sovereignty. It is open to anybody to come in, so therefore there's no need for borders. I mean, that is the extrapolation of a post-nation state. It's also a post-nation state has been dis has no soul. It has no core. It has no raison d'être. It has it function as a whole. It basically is a bunch of villages that come together and kind of do stuff, coexist and whatever. But there is no a post-nation state is not a cohesive community in the sense of the traditional civil societies that are built on the rule of law and blah blah blah. What we've got here now is something that's built primarily on ideological and feel good concepts, which maybe that's the way we're going in the long run. But I think it is yet to be proven. On top of which, you have mixed in with that a fairly autocratic and dictatorial regime, which wants to do it this way. So it's there's a there's dichotomies here, which are very difficult to understand without taking a PhD course in, how human beings coexist in the 23rd century. I mean, that's just it's like we're living in another universe at the moment with ideas that come and go at the whim of various individuals who dreamt
Well,
something up in TikTok and then it comes down and becomes policy, you know?
it's like the scientists who say, why would we want to clone dinosaurs? We've had four movies made that tell us that that isn't quite what we should be doing. And yet here we have the same kind of governments who are trying to tell us that this is the proper way, without really looking at things and deciding is that good, is that bad. We're just telling you that it's good. So, and we're the leaders, so you should listen to us.
Yeah, and that's the frustrating part because, the popularity of the folks that are telling us what to do is pretty low across the board. And you're going, my goodness, I can't believe so many people disagree but go along just to get along. And in the end, we're failing on so many other levels, and it just doesn't seem to, get people's attention. It will eventually, but sometimes it's too late, and then you have to deal with the damage that's been caused. But anyway, this whole business in today's broadcast really is just a frustration of years of inaction, of years of double talk, double speak, on this whole business of immigration. And by the way, we've never ever had a real debate in this country, or even in the US for them, it'll stick with this continent, about what immigration should be. It's just done by bureaucrats and elected people who may not necessarily do so at the best interest of the community that already exists. I'm sorry, but there's a lot of stuff that's happened in this area where no one was ever consulted. It's just this, you do this because it's good for you. And by the way, don't question it because we're going to call you names if you do. We've been doing this for decades. This is not new. I mean, the frustration that I'm talking about now is not something that wasn't talked about 20, 30, 40 years ago. It's just that it's allowed to go on and on and on. And they duck and weave and, bob and whatever on the subject. There's never been a referendum on immigration. There's never been an election that's ever been fought on that issue. These guys run like, wild horses out of the corral when the whole issue comes up because they're dishonest about having a serious conversation with a long-term projection on what you want to do. We just don't do that.
Well, I see something too that they're talking about waiving passport requirements for people in certain countries now because they're not going to get them. Well,
What Canada? Because you can't get one in another 10 weeks. I mean, I don't need
well,
a passport to go to the UK because my own government can't seem to issue one.
it's not, I think we're with
I'm
that,
being
but
facetious, of course.
it's a feel-good reaction, as you mentioned, right? Well, all these poor people, they can't get passports, but are we not there abrogating our responsibility to ensure that these are the people who they say they are? It's not like we haven't been duped before. So anyway, yeah, lots and
Well,
lots of things. I'm glad we've had this chance to get things off our chest.
yeah, and went nowhere with it, basically.
Well, we're back to where we started from. Other than my hope is that the snakeheads will look at this and the poor people that are freezing to death, well, not so much anymore because they're coming into summer months and the like, but maybe there won't be the deaths that will come as a result of this when people are trying to sneak into the United States or Canada in 40 below weather. Maybe there will be some good. That's
Listen, immigration is a good thing if you manage it.
we've tried in the past few broadcasts to get look at something good and maybe that's it,
Well, speaking of broadcasts in the past, this going to the future, we have Michael Bodays coming on our show in sometime in April after the 15th, I believe. He's going to give us a half hour talk about internet security. I should say internet security. That's not what I was going to say. I meant data protection and personal ID security as you use the internet. He's got a terrific product that he's been promoting for
For
years.
years.
He's we remember back in Madrid, he showed us how this system worked, and it's I'm looking forward to chatting with him.
I think he's probably got a very good product there and certainly going to be very beneficial as we are coming out of the post-COVID stay at home work in your basement in your pajamas environment. Maybe his product will give us that back so that we can go back to the warmth and comfort of our basements. I don't know.
I don't have a basement.
I guess you better move.
right. Well, it looks like the clock on the wall says we're just about done for
Yeah.
this week. I will have to apologize to our listeners and viewers because we were this whole thing is so screwed up that even we can't figure it out.
Well, that's right. And please, whether it's plus or minus, get back to us. I'd really like to hear your comments on it. I can't think that I'm the only one that's thinking that this is a bunch of smoke and mirrors.
Indeed. Well, and don't forget, new hat next week.
I can hardly wait.
There you go. Take care, Bob.
You too.
Bye. All right. It's in the can. Ooh, right within a time frame. Ooh-ha.